Hey y'all, let's take a look today at Luke chapter 15, the whole chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having lost 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father said to him, saw him, and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you and never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Well, I wanted to discuss the whole chapter because it's all one scene. And while the parable of the prodigal son is probably one of the most famous of Jesus' parables for good reason, he told it with two other parables, and it's no accident that he told them together. As you read them together, you begin to see what they have in common. There's something precious that is lost, and the main figures go looking for it. And of course, the most important thing is the context in which the parables are told. The context is that the Pharisees and the scribes are grumbling that he receives sinners. Now remember, in the Gospel of Luke, and in many of the Gospels, the reason Jesus uses parables is because the people that he's speaking to refuse to listen to them. So he tells them stories that are supposed to catch them sideways. Remember, it's like Nathan the prophet telling David the story of the man whose sheep was stolen. It's meant to incite their moral outrage and then make them realize, oh, it's me that's the guilty one, and to cause them to come to repentance. So Jesus is using these all to address the Pharisees and the scribes. So one important thing to note is that while there's many, many very important and beautiful implications from all of this, it is mainly an indictment leveled against the Pharisees. So let's look at some of the things that are going on here. So as I said, there's three parables that are telling the same story, something lost and it gets found. Why three? Well, it's a way of emphasizing, right? In Scripture, whenever something is said three times or done three times, it's a way of really underlining its importance. And so Jesus is underlining the importance of this lost thing of value being found. But notice also that there's this heightening tension. The first is an animal, one of 99. The second is a coin, one of 10. And the last is a person, one of two. And so I think this also makes the tension rise and, again, underlines the importance of the value of the thing that is lost to the one who has lost it. Notice, too, that all three parables end in joy, except the last one, which ends in joy, but it's a ambivalent joy because we're not sure if everybody's going to enter into the joy. So in the first one, a sheep is found, and the man calls his neighbors and says, hey, let's celebrate with me. And it says there's joy in heaven about that. And then the lost coin. Again, the woman searches the house, she finds it, she calls her friends and throws a party and says there's joy before the angels. And in the final parable, when the prodigal is back, it says, it underlines the emphasis that there's joy in heaven, there's joy in God's heart. So there's sort of, again, a heightening of joy. The point is, the return of the lost is maybe the most precious and joyful thing to God. And the Pharisees are refusing to enter into that joy. Another reason I think there are three parables is it emphasizes three sides of this looking for the lost. I think in the first parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd that goes and looks for the lost sheep is Jesus. The Old Testament has all kinds of indictments of the leaders of Israel as sheep, as shepherds that are fleecing the flock. They're scattering the flock. And that God would send a shepherd or shepherds after his own heart. I think Jesus is that shepherd. What about the woman? I think the woman is probably either Israel or the church. In other words, the church scouring the house to find those that have left, those that have lost, those that have left the fold. And then finally, obviously, in the last parable, the father is the father God. I think you might also suggest it's Isaac when Jacob is in exile. You might also say it's Jacob when Joseph is lost, and then maybe Benjamin. But again, it underlines the heart of the Father. So we have the Son, we have the Church, and we have the Father, all with their hearts set on finding those that are lost. Notice too how degraded the Son is. He is a Jew who has gone into exile to a far country. He is not only around pigs, but he's feeding pigs. He's lower than the pigs. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher from England, underlined, he noted the similarity, he thought, to the story in the Odyssey of Circe, who turns Odysseus's men into swine. But at any rate, the point is it's underlining the sort of degraded condition of the son. And he's gone with prostitutes. He's more or less wished his father dead, and the father wants nothing but him coming back, and he has joy that he will come back. The climax, though, of all of this, and this is the point that I want to emphasize, the climax of all of this is that all three parables, while the church can learn and should learn something of them, and while we learn something of the heart of God from them, they're pointed at the Pharisees who have said he eats with sinners. Precisely the point. It's the joyous feast of sinners returning, sinners who belonged in the Father's house who are returning, and Jesus is the agent of their return. It's the invitation to the Eucharist. It's the invitation to the wedding supper of the Lamb, and Jesus is like, it's precisely the point. And he says to the Pharisees, yet you're hard-hearted. You're insiders, or you're people who were insiders, and now you're outsiders to the real heart of God. And you're going to shut yourself out from that joy. You're going to shut yourself out from that celebration. When you knock, the door's not going to be open because it's past, all because of your petty resentment, all because of your hurt that you thought you were an insider and now you're an outsider. So Jesus is delivering this parable to the Pharisees, I believe in an appeal, a hope that they will lay down their hard-heartedness and their resentment and just simply enter into the joy of estranged people returning to the Father's house. This is so important. So again, these three parables told in succession emphasize the great value of the lost, the great value that God puts on the lost and that he wants his bride to put on the lost, that Jesus himself put on the lost by leaving the Father's house to go and find the 99. It emphasizes the great joy in heaven, and I think this is where we need to have our hearts, that if we have an aerial view perspective of life, if we have a sort of a God's eye view of history, our joy is not in earthly victories. Our joy is in people returning to the Father's house. And that's where he's inviting us to have our heart set and our joy. And then finally, it emphasizes the tragedy of those, especially leaders, who allow resentment, allow bitterness, allow their place of privilege to dull their heart to those that are separated from God, instead of joining in with the joy of their Father to go and seek the lost and to celebrate when they come back. So may we know that joy. May we be like this bride who is scouring the house and celebrating with our Father when his lost son, who is dead, comes home and is alive. Amen.